Colossians chapter 2, in the Wednesday night Conqueror Club and in the Tabernacle Teams class, we've been going through this chapter, Colossians chapter number 2, and we've been focusing on a particular phrase found in verse number 10, and our completeness in Christ. And so tonight I'm going to condense about, I don't know, 6 or 8 sermons into one, and so we'll have an intermission time, and you can go out and get a drink and something to eat and come back in. And they're not laughing. They didn't think that was real funny. They're saying, let's get it going. Let's get out of here. All right. Colossians chapter 2. I will attempt to be very brief tonight. And I was reminded that there's a Steelers game on here in a little bit. Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul writes, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Now, if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I'd invite you to go to verse number 10, and I'd like you to mark this phrase at the very beginning of the verse, "Ye are complete in him." Ye are complete in him. Now, this is an amazing thing to think of, that we are complete in him. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 6 of Isaiah said that in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the house was filled with smoke. And he goes on to describe this scene that unfolds before him. And when Isaiah sees God for who he is, his response is very simple. "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm incomplete. I've seen the Lord of glory. I've seen him in all of his majesty. And when I see him for who he is, and I look at me for who I am undone." But we're complete in him. In Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar, in a drunken party, calls for the sacred temple cups and the gold and the silver things that were in the temple. And he calls for them, and he begins to implement them in this drunken party. And you know the story. The hand is seen writing upon the wall, and it's something they can't figure out. And so Daniel is called, and in the partial interpretation of what that writing means, Daniel says to Belshazzar, "You have been weighed in the balances, and you have been found wanting. You're incomplete. There's something missing." But we're complete in him. We are complete in him. All have sinned, Romans says. All have sinned and come short of his glory. So here's my question. If we are undone, if we are weighed in the balances and if we are found wanting, if we have fallen short of the glory of God, how is it that Paul can say to us, but you're complete in him? I want you to know that if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior tonight, then you are complete in him. Amen. I was speaking with my dad about this. We were talking about this particular chapter of the Bible. And one of the things I enjoy about my father is every time we get together, he always initiates conversations about God's word. And we were working on a vehicle, and we're just talking back and forth. And we brought up Colossians chapter 2. And he asked me this question. He said, if I'm complete in him as a believer, if I'm complete in him, then what in the world is wrong with me? It's a great question.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I am complete in him. But if I am, what in the world is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. See, the idea is this. I have as much of God as I'm ever going to get. The moment of my salvation, when I placed my faith in Christ, 10,000 things happened all simultaneously. I was saved. I was regenerate. I was forgiven. I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I was made a child of God. So many things happened in that moment. But one of the things that happened in that moment was I was made instantly complete in Christ. But the question is this, if I'm complete in him and I have as much of him as I'm ever going to get, does he have all of me? You see, I am complete in him. If you're a believer, you are complete in him. But the daily struggle is this, does he have all of me? I look at this phrase, and ye are complete in him, and this is an encouraging phrase to me. This is something that I can rejoice in. I can take heart in this. Because as bad as I view myself, and by the way, I don't view myself as badly as I should. What a message this morning, wasn't it? By the way, it's my life's verse, 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he's done for you. Consider who you are and consider what he's done for you. But if I'm complete in him, if he's given me everything, then I must ask the question, have I given him all of me? Have I given him all of me? There are four things I want us to see out of this chapter. I'm going to be very brief tonight, but there are four things that I find to be encouraging. Number one, if you're writing them down, number one, ye are completely different. Excuse me, we'll get to that one. Ye are completely, first of all, dependent. You're completely dependent. Go back one page in your Bible, if you would, to chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says this, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we find here that we are completely dependent. Now, if I'm complete in him, it is because I've come to him for salvation, and you are complete in him if you've come to him for salvation. So how does that work? Is there anything that I can do to become complete in Christ? The answer is no. So you see, I'm completely dependent. Go back, if you would, and I want you to pay very close attention to how the Holy Spirit has Paul record these words. Verse number 10 of chapter 2. And ye are complete in him. You see, Paul could have very easily written, and you are complete. Hey, Christian. Hey, believer. You're complete. You have all of, but he words it this way. Ye are complete in him.
Amen.
You see, no one's going to get to heaven and start patting themselves on the back for getting themselves there. This is the beautiful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true and pure gospel. This is true Christianity. You see, Catholicism says do, and Islam says do, and all the world's religions say do, and you must do, and you must do, and Jesus Christ says done. It's finished. It's completed. You're complete, but there's nothing you did to make yourself complete. And as Christians, we understand this. We understand, and as we share the gospel, that's one of the great things about the gospel that I love sharing with people. Because they always have this sort of, you know, this hitch. What do I need to do? What's my part in it? You're a sinner. That's your part. And you're handling it perfectly, by the way. Your part is just to be a sinner and come with empty hands. Just come empty to the cross and say, God, I'm a sinner. It's complete, but wait a second. You say, that's how I came to Christ. Right. Now look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We get the idea, I'm afraid, that being complete in him, now that I'm a Christian, something I've got to work for. There's a list, right? There's a list. There's the Baptist list. There's the do's, there's the don'ts, and I'm going to cross all of my T's and dot all of my I's, and I'm going to be this perfect little cookie-cutter Christian, and if I'll do that, if I'll sort of trudge through that, and if I'll confine myself to this mold, then I'll be complete in him. No, friend, you are complete in him, and there's no work that you can do before or after salvation to be complete in him. We are complete. We are complete. That's why in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. You see, my job at salvation, my one thing that I must do in order to come to Christ is to come empty. I come to him empty, right? If I come to Christ with any work of myself, if I say it's Jesus Christ plus my baptism, then it's not all of Christ. It's not grace. It's works. Let's go back to Bible times. If I say it's Christ plus the works of the law, plus the holy days, plus circumcision, plus whatever, then it's not all of Christ. And we would never say that, right? We would never say that. But in the Christian life, how am I to be complete in him? I came empty-handed at salvation. I come completely empty-handed for the service of my King. And I say, I cannot do this. I'm giving myself to you. I'm putting myself on the altar. I'm just giving you. Now look, now he does the work through me. But it's not the work of the flesh. I'm not going to work up something in my flesh. I'm not going to come up with something and present that to God. No, I present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which, by the way, is my reasonable service. Someone said this a long time ago. I wrote it down. I did not write down the author. He said this, I am completely incapable of living, therefore I die. I am completely incapable of living. Our problem is this. We know the Christian life so well that we live it apart from God. Isn't that silly? I'm going to live my Christian life, and I don't really need God because I know all the answers, and I know all the verses. I know what I'm supposed to do, and when I'm supposed to do it, I smile, I nod, I shake hands, and everybody says, isn't he a great Christian? But the problem is this. I can remove God from my Christian life. But he says, no, you're complete in me, and it's never a work of you. It's all my work, and it is through you. And so ye are complete in him. First of all, ye are completely dependent. Number two, ye are completely equipped. Look at chapter 2, if you would, in verse number 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Aren't there some enticing words flying around in our day? By the way, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Paul stood on Mars Hill. I feel like I live on Mars Hill sometimes, right? I feel like I live on Mars Hill. People just saying the first thing that comes to their mind, and if it makes them feel good, it's got to be true, right? It doesn't matter what you are biologically, whatever you think you are. Brother Hickman and I were talking about this the other day, and we were sort of joking, and then he stopped, and he goes, it's really not funny, and he's right. But I was telling him that I saw an article, I think it was on MSN or somewhere, I was reading an article. There's a young lady in Russia who is legally a cat. You can laugh. It's just, she's legally a cat. You say, this is bizarre. Well, of course it's bizarre. I can be a man, I can be a woman, I can be a cat, I can be a moose, I can be whatever I say I am. Look, there's nothing to back it up. It's just what I feel inside, and therefore I say it. And our society says, and you have no right to say otherwise. Can I say this? We are complete in Him. We are completely equipped. You say, what are we equipped with? We're equipped with the truth. It's just simple. It's simple. No, look, I appreciate all these people who travel about and they debate and they use certain science and they use all different kinds of things to debate what I would consider to be conservative causes, and I appreciate that. But can I tell you that we don't have to have all that because we are complete in Him. We are completely equipped. I have all the truth that I need right here. You say, how do you know that a man's a man and a woman is a woman? Because God said so. And it's just that simple. And by the way, our young people have got to get a hold of this. If you miss that, the generation that you're growing up in, you're done. Because someone's going to come up with an answer, and it's going to seem really, really smart. And we're going to try to figure out who's right. Well, who's got the most PhDs behind their name? Are you the smartest person? Well, if you're the smartest person, you know, you have the most degrees, then obviously we're going to go with your answer. Or what about the person with the most compelling argument? You know, are we going to vote on this thing now? Well, I'm for abortion, but I'm against abortion. Well, let's sit down and let's talk it out. Well, the for abortion guy, he seemed to be pretty smart, so I guess I'll go his way. We are completely equipped, and the world's going to criticize, and the world's going to badmouth, and they're going to say you're narrow-minded, and you're going to, you know, and you're a bigot, and you're hateful, and you're speaking hate speech, and they're going to say whatever they want to say, but we have to draw the line in the sand, and we have to say very simply, I am complete in Him, and I'm completely equipped with everything that I need.
Amen.
Look at it. In whom? Speaking of Christ. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Do you believe that? Do you believe that you possess all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? It's in Him. Now look, some of those treasures, I'll be very honest with you, you got a mine pretty deep, don't you? Praise God for the jewels that He sprinkles on the surface, right? The hands full on purpose where you just walk through and you pick it up, you know, the Romans Road. Praise God, salvation's easy to understand, isn't it? I love that. But there are many things that God says, all right, you've got a mind for that. But here's the wonderful thing. He's the foreman on the mining crew. He tells you where the treasures are. When you find them and you say, Lord, I don't understand, then he by His Spirit helps us to understand. We are complete in Him and ye are completely equipped. There's a third thing very quickly, and that is ye are completely forgiven. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. I love this legal aspect that we have here in verse number 14. It's a legal proceeding, right? There's a blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Look at verse number 13. He says at the very end, having forgiven you all trespasses, every one of them. All means all, and that's all means, and He took all of my sin, past, present, future. I'm completely forgiven. What does it mean when I say I am complete in Him? It means I am in Him. I bear His record. When God looks at me, He does not see all of the things that I've done. He does not see the transgression of the law. He says, I've forgiven you of every one of your sins. I'm completely forgiven. By the way, isn't it good to remind yourself of that every once in a while and to remind the devil of that every once in a while? I'm completely forgiven. I feel bad for people, and we're all prone to get stuck in this performance-based acceptance thing. Right? I'm going to make God love me a little bit more today. No, you're not. I failed Him completely. I messed up. I sinned. I did it on purpose. Surely he doesn't love me. No. Because he's forgiven every sin, and there's nothing I'll ever do to make him love me more or to make me him love me less, because he's completely forgiven me. Amen. And there are so many times where I'll forgive somebody and I'll struggle with it. And you're guilty of the same thing too. Somebody says something or does something, and you know it's the right thing to do to forgive them, and a week later or a month later or a year later, you just think it comes back to you, right? And you got to forgive them all over again. Lord, just, you know, help me with this. You know, Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I really want to be angry with Dan. I really want to be mad at him, but I won't be. No, because I'm completely forgiven. I'm complete in him. Amen. Look at verse number 14. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. This is a legal proceeding, right? This is a legal document. And there's a handwriting of ordinances against me. It's all written down. And by the way, God keeps very good records. He never missed a thing. Nobody ever saw me do it. No one saw me sneak that miniature Reese's cup. I'm telling on myself right now. You know how certain things from your childhood just sort of stick with you? I was in the back in the concessions, halftime of the high school basketball game. I must have been probably third or fourth grade, and there's a box of miniature Reese's there. And I went to get one. And the Holy Spirit of God said, don't you dare. And I said, it's a Reese's. And I took it. And I ate it. And I enjoyed it. About 5 minutes later, God said, you stole that. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I did. I stole it. Oh, my goodness. What am I going to do? I went to my dad. I said, Dad, I stole a Reese's. It's this big, you know. He said, how much was it? I said, they're a dime. He said, you got to pay for it. So I paid for it. But I still felt guilty. Guess what? God wrote that down. He wrote them all down. He keeps very good records. Let me tell you who else keeps very good records. The devil. He keeps really good records. And he brings them up to my God night and day, the Bible says. Did you see that? That's your child? That's the one you forgave? He did that? You know what God says? You got him. He did it. Oh, but wait a second. There's a third person in the courtroom. That's the advocate. And he stands with a nail-pierced hand, and he says, yes, he's guilty. He deserves hell. But I forgave all of his sins. I paid the price, and here's the proof. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, if you would, please. Hold your place here in Colossians. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I am so thankful that John did not just say the advocate is Jesus Christ. He calls him Jesus Christ the righteous. He is my advocate because he's the only one who can be my advocate. He is the only one who is the go-between, the God-man, the perfect Son of God, who hung between heaven and earth, who connected me with God. He is Jesus Christ the righteous, and he's my advocate. Verse number 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation is a word that we don't often use, but it's a very meaningful word. If you go back to the very origin of it, that word propitiation actually bears the meaning of mercy seat. The word propitiation means the mercy seat. What is the significance of that? Well, what is the mercy seat? You have the Ark of the Covenant. You have a wooden box overlaid in gold with two cherubim on either side with their wings outstretched. Inside the Ark is the law of God, the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments. And as Moses said, the law killed me. Paul said, the law killed me. The law put me to death. All the law can do is to destroy. And the law says guilty, guilty, guilty. Because, by the way, we've all broken them. Amen. Right? Amen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Guilty. Thou shalt not make into thee any graven image, a god of your imagination. This is the darling sin of our country. Right? God can be whatever I want him to be. Guilty. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Speaking God's name and not having his glory in our hearts, using his name flippantly, we're all guilty. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Are we always honoring God on God's day? Right? We're all guilty. Honor thy father and thy mother. Let's move past that one quickly, shall we? Thou shalt not kill. Oh, hallelujah. I found one that I'm not guilty of. Jesus said, if you're angry with someone without cause, you've committed murder in your heart. Guilty. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If you look upon someone and lust after them in your heart, you've already committed adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. The law says, you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty. And that's what's in the box. And there's a golden cover on the box. And once a year, the high priest comes in with the blood of an animal, and he sprinkles that blood on the mercy seat. And the law, crying out from inside that box, says, guilty, guilty. But the blood says, forgiven. Amen. And he is my mercy seat. Amen. Completely forgiven. And every time the devil says, you remember that time? I get to gladly say, I do, but God does not, because he's forgiven me. Why is that? Because I'm complete in him. There's a fourth thing. I'm completely dependent. I'm completely equipped. We're completely forgiven. Number four, we're completely different. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Look here, we are complete in Christ, and we are completely different. And by the way, we don't want to be. I tell our teenagers often that the two things that are most true about every teenager in the world is this. Number one, they all say how different they want to be, how unique they want to be. I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be my own person. I want to be unique. That's the first thing that's true of every teenager. The second thing that's true of every teenager is that they work really hard to be just like everybody else. It's true. You know what our problem is so often? We don't want to be different. We don't want to be different. Because when I'm different, then everyone's looking at me and they say, what's wrong with you? And why don't you do this? And why do you do that? And da, 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 da. And there's a reproach to the cross. And sometimes my flesh, not sometimes, all the times, my flesh does not want to bear that reproach. But can I say to you that we are complete in him and we are completely different. Whether you want to be different, whether you ascribe to be different, you are different. Look at verse number 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This is that spiritual cutting away. This is that spiritual separation where God says, I've called you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of my dear son. You are now my child, and you are completely different than the rest of the world. You are completely different. Whether you want to be, whether you don't want to be, you are. Look at chapter number three, and verse number one. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, look here, who is our life. You say, what is the difference? You say I'm different. You say that I'm complete in Christ, therefore I'm different. So what makes me different? Here's what makes us different. He is our life. Our life is no longer what we desire. Our life is no longer what we want. Our life is no longer what we aspire to be and aspire to have. He is our life. He's made us that way. Look at it, please. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And on it goes. We are completely different. I hope that you're encouraged tonight. My heart is encouraged every time I look at this passage and every time I understand that he has made me complete in him. I'm completely dependent upon him. I need him every moment of every day. I'm completely dependent upon him. I'm completely equipped. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Completely equipped. I'm completely forgiven. And I'm completely different.